Hello, I'm Prof. Bart Leroy.
Hello, I'm Prof. Ellen Dolphus.
Welcome back to our independent medical education series on IRD fundamentals. Previously, we've discussed available management strategies and treatment options for patients with IRDs as well as gaps of coverage from healthcare systems.
Today, we'll explore the latest research and promising emerging treatment options. Let's dive in.
So what are the most promising treatment strategies currently being researched for IRD and why?
I would start with gene augmentation therapies because we all know about the success story of Luxturna. And this has prompted other research on other genes for gene augmentation. And there are trials that have been carried on and that are currently being carried on. But I know there are other strategies, Bart, you know very well about.
Yeah, one of the strategies that we've seen emerge is a strategy that doesn't really do anything at the level of the gene, but it does do something at the level of transcribed RNA. So it's going to manipulate the maturation of RNA so that anything that goes wrong in the splicing can be corrected. And this technology is a promising one. It's actually the group of therapies that are called antisense oligonucleotides. What about strategies, Elaine, on larger genes? What are we doing there? Because there are some emerging technologies at that level as well.
For large genes, there are other strategies that can combine vectors, what is called dual vectors, or change the type of a virus that is carrying the gene to the cell. So there are different strategies that are possible.
And then I'm also thinking about the gene editing strategy. There's only one trial that has been completed for now, which was the trial done by Editas. And they tried to edit the CEP290 gene, which in essence is also too large to be carried into an adeno-associated virus. And whereas the technology seemed to work, the results were limited, highly likely because of the fact that patients with that condition are the worst affected of all people with Leber congenital amaurosis.
I would add that we have just been speaking about really targeted therapies on specific genes. Also, what is very interesting now is to develop agnostic treatments that are more addressing groups of genes or pathogenesis mechanism. So I think these agnostic treatments, for example, neuroprotection, that type of strategy, may address more patients.
That's correct. We have the rod-derived cone viability factor. We have all the strategies where proteins from algae are being introduced through gene therapy so that phototransduction and the closure of cation channels in photoreceptors can be done with one protein. These strategies would help, obviously, in a gene-agnostic way, but they also would potentially help people who still have cone cell bodies but don't have outer segments anymore. So what about cell therapy? Do you think that cell therapy is going to happen anytime soon?
Well, there are promising preclinical investigations. Now, probably cell therapy will take a little bit longer to come directly to the patient and to be on the market because there are a lot of milestones to be reached.
Fully agree. And so if you look at studies done at University College of London by Lynn and LaCruz and co-workers, the cell therapy seemed to be successful in the sense that they can transplant sheets of RPE cells and photoreceptor cells, but how long they will be going for is a big question, isn't it? But the proof of concept has been reached, but there is probably a long way to go, and gene therapies or genetic therapies are way ahead in their clinical application. So what are the most significant gaps in the current clinical care pathways for IRD patients?
First of all, these patients have to access to expert centers where the knowledge for the care of these patients and the research for these patients is there. I would say also, and this is not the case in the whole of Europe, there are some places where it's still very difficult to have access to expert centers. Secondly, genetic testing is very important because this will determine a mode of inheritance and give access to prenatal testing or pre-implantatory testing. There are a lot of patients still who are not aware about this, and this can be very important to prevent recurrences in families. Also, I would say the follow-up of ERD patients is really important for detection of complications such as cataracts that can be operated on, cystoid macular edema that can also be treated. So I think it's very important to bring the patients in these expert centers.
Absolutely, I fully agree. Rather than sending them off in the jungle with the comment, there's nothing that can be done for you. Options towards family planning, as you carefully said, including the pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, prenatal diagnosis, but also management of actionable things, like the simple things that eye doctors should care about, cataracts and CME. I fully agree, Elaine.
And I would add also all the low vision tools that are available, and the social care, the psychological care. All of these are very important for the global care of the patient.
So how can we improve the integration of genetic counseling into routine IRD patient care action?
First of all, it is very important that the patient benefit of genetic testing in a good context, meaning that the clinicians have to be educated to medical genetics. This is the case in the expert centers, such as in the ERNI network. Genetic counselors are very important, as well as very tight exchanges with the biological genetic testing laboratories. Prescribing a genetic test is not easy. You have to explain to the patient what is going on, what he can expect or not from this test. And also when you receive the result, you have to deliver genetic counseling that sometimes can be quite difficult on by many means. For instance, if the variant is of insignificant signification, this is very, very delicate in some instances. What do you think?
I don't think that genetic tests ought to be just interpreted by people who don't have the experience of reading the results of the test properly and understanding the implications for the patient. Also, we shouldn't forget that rules currently on whether there is a variant of unknown significance or not, if you find a change but it's not yet considered a class 4 or class 5, people should realize that this is not set in stone and that discussions by experts with the molecular lab can actually change the interpretation. But this is something for expert centers. I fully agree that the retinal specialists who diagnose these patients have to refer the patients to the expert centers to do that job.
It's not a glycemia test. It's much more complex. So what strategies could be employed to support innovative IRD research projects?
We need more money in the field of IRD research. We have seen that the gene therapies, for example, can be very important when that technology and knowledge is translated into the world of geographic atrophy and AMD in general. The importance of the IRD world goes far beyond the treatment of just IRD patients. It's actually very important for the retinal part of what is ophthalmology and even beyond. But what I think is essential is that more money is being invested and organizations like uRetina ought to consider investing more money in research projects that are focused on IRDs.
As you said, rare diseases lead the example for common diseases. So the knowledge we generate is highly important for medicine and science.
It's transferable by all means. So how can we leverage big data and artificial intelligence to accelerate the development of effective treatments for IRD patients?
I think, first of all, we have to collect data, natural history data, and of high quality. And this is one of the objectives of ERNI with our European Registry for Inherited Retinal Dystrophies. Once we have this data, we will be able to carry on many projects because we will have enough patients to really draw important conclusions. What do you think, Bart?
I fully agree. If you want to do AI, then you need data. And the data have not been generated yet. So I think the impact of AI will be amazing. But we have to do quality data collection first. If you have garbage in, you get garbage out. If you get quality in, quality comes out. So the efforts that are led by yourselves in ERNI with the 60 centers collecting the data of their IRD patients is going to be of paramount importance should we want to apply AI. Eventually, what I see is options for people to even use AI-derived technology in the diagnosis of a super rare IRD that some of us may recognize, but others may struggle to recognize at first. And then obviously AI algorithms, you can see them help the doctor make the right diagnosis.
I think it's going to be very broad applications and impact in the care. But as you said, quality images will lead to quality AI, so we are really well on track for that.
Thank you for joining us for our rich series on IRD fundamentals. We hope you found the series both informative and engaging.
By understanding inherited retinal disease better, we can improve diagnosis and patient care. Thanks again for watching.